warm welcome. The Lord helped us to prepare for worship. Let us sing the hymn, "The Lord is in His Holy Temple." Listen to the call to worship taken from Psalm 26, verse 8. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. Let us arise for the opening hymn. The hymn is number 5, "Command thy blessing from above." Number 5. Please arise for our opening hymn. Remain standing as we look to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that Thou hast brought us safely through another week, and that we can be found in Thy house in the quiet of this sanctuary, this house of prayer, to adore Thee, to worship Thee. O Lord, may every item of our worship bring honor and glory to Thy holy name, and strengthen thy people. Prepare us to partake the Lord's Supper, prepare us to give our tithes and offerings, and prepare us, Lord, to receive thy holy word. Strengthen thy people, and bless this worship for thy own honor and glory. This I pray with thanksgiving, in the name of Jesus Christ, who while on earth taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Be seated. The reading of God's word is taken from Exodus chapter 35, and we shall be reading from verse 4 to verse 29. Exodus 35. Would you turn there to the word of God, to Exodus 35 and verse 4. And Moses spake unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, This is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, Take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it, an offering of the Lord, gold and silver and brass, and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair and ram's skins dyed red and badger's skins and shittim wood and oil for the light and spices for anointing oil and for the sweet incense and onyx stones and the stones to be set for the ephod and for the breastplate. And every wise-hearted among you shall come and make all that the Lord had commanded, the tabernacle, his tent, and his covering, his torches, and his boards, and his bars, his pillars, and his sockets, the ark, and the staves thereof, with the mercy seat, and the veil of the covering, the table, and his staves, and all his vessels, and the showbread, the candlestick also for the light, and his furniture, and his lamps with the oil for the light, and the incense altar, and his staves, and the anointing oil, and the sweet incense, and the hanging for the door at the entering in of the tabernacle, the altar of burnt offering, with his brazen grate, his staves, and all his vessels, the level and his foot, the hangings of the court, his pillars and their sockets, and the hangings for the door of the court, the pins of the tabernacle and the pins of the court and their cords, the cloths of service to do service in the holy place, the holy garments for Aaron the priest, and the garments of his sons to minister in the priest office. Verse 20. And all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses. And they came, and every one whose heart stirred him up and everyone whom his spirit made willing. And they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation, and for all his service, and for the holy garments. They came, both men and women, as many as were willing-hearted, and brought bracelets and earrings and rings and tablets and all jewels of gold, and every man that offered an offering of gold unto the Lord, and every man with whom was found blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair and red skins of rams and badgers' skins brought them. Everyone that did offer an offering of silver and brass brought the Lord's offering, and every man with whom was found shittim wood, for any work of the service, brought it. And all the women that were wise-hearted did spin with their hands and brought that which they had spun, both of blue and of purple and of scarlet and of fine linen. Verse 26. And all the women whose heart stirred them up in wisdom spun goat's hair. And the rulers brought onyx stones and stones to be set for the ephod and for the breastplate, and spice and oil for the light and for the anointing oil and for the sweet incense. Together in unison, verse 29, the children of Israel brought a willing offering unto the Lord. Every man and woman whose heart made them willing to bring all manner of work which the Lord had commanded to be made by the hand of Moses. Thank God for the reading of his infallible, inerrant, and preserved word of everlasting life. Now, in response, we shall sing seated the hymn 351, 351, He leadeth me. He leadeth me. 351.
Where I is faithful
ministering the Holy Communion at this time. Let us turn to the scripture text in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is a new testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." Amen. We shall turn to the hymn 201. We shall be singing the first four stanzas as the bread and the cup is being distributed. The hymn is 201, "According to Thy Gracious Word."
Yeah.
hands, please raise up your hands so that we can serve it to you. The Lord's table is open to all born again, baptized believers in the Church of Jesus Christ. If you have not been baptized, you are not a believer, please do not partake of the elements. We shall now spend a moment in personal, quiet prayer before we would partake of the bread and the cup. Let us pray. Let us partake of the bread. Our Lord Jesus says, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Let us partake of the bread. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is a new testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me." Let us partake of the cup. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the gift of the bread and the cup, signifying the broken body of Christ and His blood that was shed for the remission of our sins. May Thou be gracious to strengthen Thy people as we look to Thee, comfort and keep us, and send us forth to be Thy witnesses. This I pray with thanksgiving, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's arise to sing stanza 4, 5, and 6 of the hymn 201. we shall now give our tithes and offering. The offertory hymn is 390, Something for Thee, 390. For the doxology, praise God from whom all blessings flow.
Praise God.
thank thee for these tithes and offerings that thy people have brought before thee with cheerful hearts. And in thy fear, O Lord, may thou receive them and multiply them for the furtherance of thy everlasting kingdom in the preaching of the gospel and in the defense of the faith in these last days. For thy own mercy's sake, send us forth to do thy good work. For thy own name's sake, hear our prayer. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Congregation, please be seated. The hymn before our pastoral prayer and our message, Dwelling Place of God, is 364. This the blessed hour of prayer, seated as we sing 364. This the blessed hour of prayer.
Thank you.
look to the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that Thy church may be gathered together as one flock in the Lord Jesus Christ, here in this vicinity, and shut in unto Thyself, that we may find help, solace, comfort in times of need. We thank Thee there is mercy that we can receive at Thy throne, that Thou hast ordained for Thy people to come before Thee through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who died upon the cross for our sins, and how He rose again the third day, defeating sin, death, victorious, triumphant. On this resurrection day, Thy church is gathered to rejoice of the life that Thou hast imparted to us through Thy Spirit, enabling us to understand the good news of the gospel and to receive this faith and to be in possession of this hope of everlasting life and the inheritance that Thou hast allotted to us in earnest, as we know by faith, according to Thy promise, that indeed there is a place of an everlasting abode in heaven, a place that there will be no more tears, no more sin, no more death, no more pain, no more diseases. O Lord, we thank Thee that indeed Thou hast opened our spiritual eyes to help us to see, and in our worship of Thee on the Sabbath day, on the Lord's day, we have a foretaste of heaven. O Lord, we praise Thee. We thank Thee that Thou dost dwell with us through Thy Holy Spirit, and we are now the temple of God. The Spirit of God dwells with us, and where two or three are gathered together, O Lord, we affirm and we praise Thee of Thy presence with us. So Lord, bless our worship. We thank Thee for Thy blessings for the FEBC convocation service on the 7th of May, and the safety of from Mersing for all attendees on the 10th of May. We thank Thee for helping Stephen to adjust to the nursing home and enabling him to come to church last Lord's Day and even this Lord's Day. We praise Thee for Thy grace, and we thank Thee for the strength that Thou hast given to Sister Catherine to take care of Stephen. We thank Thee for the safe return of Gichun from Austria, for Sylvia from UK. Lord, we thank Thee for journey mercies. And we pray for those who are traveling, for Dr. Ang in KL, for Zoe on the way to Sweden, to the end of the May. Lord, may Thou be with them and come strengthen them and keep them for Thy own name's sake. Father, we pray for journey mercies for Willard and Murray, now in Amsterdam, returning on the 6th of May. May Thou be with them to be their portion. And we remember Sister Lily, Margie's mother. May Thou strengthen her physically and spiritually. And we pray, Father, at this time, for strength and courage for thy people in Ukraine and Russia as they wait upon thee for their deliverance from the military conflicts. O God, may thou strengthen them. And we pray for thy protection and safety, for grace throughout her pregnancy and spiritual preparation for parenting for both Joyen and Grace. Father, we pray also for thy help for Nikesh in his job application. And we pray for Chipo, Christine's brother, that thou wouldst shield him from idolatry. May thou be gracious to deliver him from the snare of idolatry. O God, we pray for the authorities in Singapore to govern with just and equitable measures, that the gospel work may continue. We pray for thy mercy to protect Singapore from terrorism, from haze, from pestilences. And we commit to thee those who are in the catechism classes. Lord, be thou, help each one to study thy word and to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray for our Thanksgiving service on the 28th of May. May thou be gracious to gather thy people to praise thee for seeing us through more than three years of the pandemic. O Lord, indeed it is by thy grace, and we come with thanksgiving for what thou hast done for thy people. Father, we also ask for thy guidance in all the planning for the church camp from the 14th to the 17th of June. May thy spirit come and illumine and guide us and bless us. And now we ask that thou would bless the preaching of thy holy word. Strengthen us that we may understand thy holy will for thy people, and grant us the grace to walk therein. This I pray with thanksgiving through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The dwelling place of God is the title of our message, taken from Exodus chapter 35 and verses 4 to 29. Exodus chapter 35, verses 4 to 29, which we have read. Israel began their journey with the commandment to build a house for the visible dwelling place of God with them. Dear friends, do you know what is heaven like? We have not been to heaven, but the Lord deemed it fit to show to his people what heaven is like with the building of his house on earth for the first time in human history. Israel began their journey with that commandment to build the tabernacle. The blueprint has been given, and it was time for them to rise up and build. It was to be a concerted effort for every Israelite called out of Egypt, now consecrated to the worship of the living and true God. And it will be built according to the stipulations that God would give to them. The Lord had anticipated that they have need of these materials, and therefore gave specific instructions to Moses that the Israelite would ask from their Egyptian neighbors before they would leave Egypt. You realize that God plans ahead for our welfare, for our eternal good, for his glory. We understand and we could see God's careful thoughts to equip his people with the wherewithal to serve him. How do we serve God? How is Israel going to serve God in the wilderness to build the most wonderful tabernacle, a tent, the house of God, the first building plan of the church?
the church in the wilderness. How are they to build? What are they to do? Well, you'd realize that God knew in advance and made adequate preparation to make sure of that. What foresight and foreknowledge and wisdom as we contemplate upon God's care for our lives. He has chosen us before the foundation of the world. And in the fullness of time, to bring us to Him and to gather us into His church, the Hebrew slaves would still be slaves if God had not guided them and led them step by step to accomplish His purpose for them to be a living witness as a nation among all the nations of the world who represent the living and true God. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 11 and verses 1 to 3. This was the scene in which God instructed Moses before the last plague that descended upon Pharaoh and his kingdom to utterly discomfort it. Exodus chapter 11 and verse 1. And the Lord said to Moses, "Yet will I bring one plague more upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Afterwards, he will let you go hence. And when he shall let you go, he shall surely trust you hence altogether." And watch what the Lord said to Moses. "Hear now in the ears of the people, and let every man borrow of his neighbor, and every woman of her neighbor, jewels of silver and jewels of gold." And the Lord gave favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of Pharaoh's servants, and in the sight of God's people. So after the initial instruction, then came the action. You look at chapter 12, verse 29. When God sent the last plague, it came to pass that at midnight, the Lord smote all the firstborn of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, all the firstborn of cattle. And Pharaoh rose in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians. And there was a great cry in Egypt, and there was not a house where there was not one dead. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, "Rise up and get you forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go and serve the Lord as ye have said. Also take your flocks and your herds as ye have said." They needed the flocks and the herds for the sacrifice. "And be gone and bless me also." And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people that they might send them out of the land in haste, for they said, we be all dead men. And the people took their dough before it was leavened, and the kneading troughs being bound up in their cloths upon their shoulders. And the children of Israel, you watch this, did according to the word of Moses, and they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they require. And Moses recorded that they spoiled the Egyptians. They spoiled the Egyptians. And the children of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Succoth, 600,000 on foot, that were men beside children. God had to provide. He had not given them the wisdom. If he had not given them the wisdom to ask of the Egyptians, Where would all the materials be? And yet the Lord had that foresight. And so they ask, and the Egyptians generously, graciously, willingly gave. You remember, they were slaves in Egypt. When they were slaves, they had to work 7 days a week, no break. And if they were to be slack, what will they do? What will happen to them? Well, Pharaoh has his taskmasters, isn't it? They would be whipped. And so there was great crying, great servitude. They were great, in great bondage. Life was so tough, dear friends. So difficult. But you see the interesting thing out of the text. They lent unto them such as they required. Although at that juncture, all the Israelite camp, including Moses, had not been given the instruction to build the tabernacle. Right? God told them that they would go to the wilderness to worship. But as to how to worship, God didn't say. And you see how important it is that we would need to listen to the voice of God to guide us, to lead us, to do His will. In preparation, God has His purpose. And when He shows us the way, may we be willing to do all that is needful. And so we saw how the Israelites benefited from the hospitality of the Egyptians, isn't it? When they first came to Egypt. You remember? There was a famine in all the land. And God caused them to be able to come during the time of famine to dwell in the most fertile part of Egypt, the land called Goshen, with Pharaoh's blessing, because Joseph was the prime minister at that time. God saved Egypt from perishing in the 7th year famine that came upon the land. And in return, Israel's family of 70 were allowed to sojourn in the land. And we saw how the hospitality of the Egyptians ran out. When a new Pharaoh arose who knew not Joseph, when we began this book of Exodus, in Exodus chapter 1, from the status of honored guests, they became hated squatters in Egypt. That was no accident. For in the fullness of time, they will have to leave Egypt and road to the promised land. You realize that the circumstances of life, the pressing urgencies of things that come upon us, are but God's way of guiding us along in the paths, in His the blessed path of His blessed will for His people. And so we see how God's plan was fulfilling itself, enacted. Israel is to become a nation. They are now a people, but without a home, isn't it? And God will lead them. And so our first thought from verse 4 to 20, the commandment to offer. The commandment to offer. Moses conveyed the Lord's command to all the congregation of the children of Israel for willing offerings to be brought unto them. This was the first building project of the church. First, very first building project. And you see in verse 4, Moses speaking to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, "This is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord, Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it an offering of the Lord. The word offering comes from the verb ram, which means to be lifted up, to be high or to be lifted up. The basic idea of this Hebrew noun is something being lifted up, an offering, what is dedicated to God, a tribute, a contribution for sacred use. The idea of that word is to be set apart. These offerings will consist of the materials for the building of the tabernacle. It will be a willing offering. Our giving and service should likewise be voluntary and ungrudging. When our Lord became the sacrifice upon the cross, well, he went forth as a willing sacrifice. And the Apostle Paul said to the church in Corinth concerning the principle of giving. In 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 to 8, he says, "He which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work." Isn't it so true? If God had not given to us his abundance, we would not have anything to give. But because he has given us his abundance, therefore, we are commanded to be good stewards for him. And indeed, if God had not laid up for us, if God had not given to us, in other words, we could not have lifted it up to him. Israel was exhorted not to forget that it is God who gave them the power to get wealth. And for the abundance that God has bestowed upon them, he sought a heart of thanksgiving from them as a devotion and worship to God in their giving. So Moses said to Israel in Deuteronomy 8, verses 17 to 18, would you turn there to Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verses 17 to 18. "And they say, and thou say in thy heart, my power and my might of my hand has gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto his father, as it is this day." Deuteronomy 8 verse 18 was given to Israel before they entered the promised land, so that they would remember that it is God who prosper their ways by giving them health and strength, that they have the strength to labor and to get wealth. He is the one who sends the rain, the former rain and the latter rain, to ripen their harvest. All they have comes from the good hand of God. Israel is instructed to acknowledge God as the giver of all wealth, tracing all wealth to God and doing his good will for your life. It is God who provides and sustains us by blessing us with jobs and wages from our labor. We are to acknowledge that he is sovereign in giving us jobs, and we are to be in quietness, work and eat our bread. 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 12. And therefore, we must never be so busy making a living. Yet we forget what God has placed us on earth to do as a steward for Him. You're a child of God. God has a plan for you to serve Him. You are a steward for the material possessions that God gives to you for His own honor and glory. And what is the purpose for the exercise of giving? Deuteronomy chapter 14, would you turn there? Why do we give? Why do we give? Deuteronomy chapter 14, verses 22 to 23, and I hope that you will not forget, so that we would have a right understanding why we give, and so that we would be good stewards for the Lord. Deuteronomy 14, verses 22 to 23. And thou shalt truly tithe all the increase of thy seed, and that the field bringeth forth year by year, and thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God in the place which He shall choose to place His name there, the tithe of thy corn, the tithe means the 10%, of thy wine, of thy oil, and the firstlings of thy herds and of thy flocks, that thou mayest learn to fear the Lord thy God always. That's the purpose of His giving, that we learn the fear of God, that it is not by our own strength, it's not by our own effort. So there is the tendency, isn't it? What God has given me is mine. What is mine is mine. It became mine. After God has given to us, it became ours, as it were. But God is saying to us here that we must not forget that all we have belongs to Him, you see. And He has a purpose for the things that He does for our lives. Right? You know, there are certain creatures that comes upon earth that lives for a short time. The bees, they live for a short time. The butterflies, they live for a short time. They die within a short time, matter of a week, the butterfly dies. But it has a purpose, it has a role in the time of its short existence. The bee is able to produce honey, and you know, the nectar that we consume, all these good things, they provided. So we hear of the busy bee, right? The busy bee. They had a purpose. God created them for a purpose. Likewise, God created us for a purpose. As a steward for Him. And so the spontaneity of the of their giving to the building of the tabernacle was just as the time of the infant church in Acts 4 verses 32 to 35. It described the infant church just formed, and the multitude of them that believe were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them aught of the things which they possessed was his own, but they had all things common, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and great grace was upon them. Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessions of lands or houses sold them, and brought the prices of the things that they sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made every man unto every man according to as he had need. But the attitude was very different when Israel returned to the land after 70 years of captivity. There was a coldness in the heart of the people towards giving for the rebuilding of the second temple. You remember the temple was destroyed? Why the temple was destroyed last week we were mentioning, right? For 70 times of the seventh year, they did not let the land rest. They were greedy. They wanted the profit, the produce of the land. So the Lord says, let the land rest. They didn't. And so for every Sabbath that they missed out, over 70 times, God would exile them for 70 years in Babylon. God sent the Babylonians to destroy the first temple. And so God was merciful that they would learn their lesson and bring them back to the land again. And so they built the second temple. But this time, you realize that the people were cold in their heart towards the giving of the rebuilding project for the second temple. And they were exhorted by Haggai the prophet to rebuild the temple that was stalled for 15 years. So they came back, they laid the foundation, after that, stopped. Why? Well, they were spending time building their own houses, building their own lives. Haggai chapter 1. Would you turn there to verse 4 of Haggai chapter 1? Is it time for you, O ye that dwell in your cilled houses, houses with ceilings, proper houses, and this house, it refers to the house of God, lie waste? Verse 6 of Haggai chapter 1. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat and have not enough. Ye drink but have not been filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there was none warm, and he that earneth wages to put into a bag with holes. In other words, what they have earned in all their hard work just did not add up at the end. Somehow, we say the pocket has holes, so whatever came in went out. So the Lord said to them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Ye look for much, and lo, it came to little. When ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. So they forgot. The fear of God left them. They did their own things. God did not bless them. Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I called for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labor of thy hands. The returnees have labored for fiscal prosperity in the past 16 years, and yet not prospering. The Lord has withheld their blessing because their desire for material prosperity was at the expense of fulfilling God's will in their lives. And so what is the admonition for God's people? Today we don't have a memory verse. I give you the memory verse now. Turn to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3 and verses 9 to 10. Proverbs chapter 3 and verses 9 to 10. It says here, shall we read together? Proverbs chapter 3 and verses 9 to 10. Proverbs chapter 3 verses 9 to 10. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and addeth no sorrow with it. Proverbs 10:22. Zechariah the prophet also sounded the alarm to awake them out of their slumber before judgment comes. Yeah, we think that, alright, never mind. Steal from the Lord. Steal from the Lord. Never know when the ceiling would fall through. Never know when the judgment will come. Let us not meddle with these things. Let us do what we ought to do as the people of God, having received the blessings of God. May the fear of God be in the hearts of the people of God. The Great Commission is yet unfinished. And the Great Commission requires that the people of God would do their part in order to fulfill the will of God. Verse 5 at the end. Gold, silver, brass, and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair and ram's skin, dyed red, badger's skins and shittim wood, and oil for the light, spices for anointing oil, the sweet incense, the onyx stones. It's really interesting, isn't it? That the Lord specifically asked them to prepare. They needed to build, they needed to have the ephod for the high priest. And the high, and the ephod consists of, you saw before, the 12 precious stones. 12 different types of stones. And how the Lord prepared them. Verse 9, and onyx stones and stones to be set for the ephod and for the breastplate. How the Lord knew what was needed. And Moses gave a full description of all that is needed for the building of the tabernacle. And how the Lord has already equipped the people. Equip his church to serve. It's just that we need to consecrate ourselves. Be a willing, a living sacrifice. This is the theme of our church camp message. Be a living, willing, holy sacrifice for the Lord. And so Moses gave the full description of all that is needed in the building of the tabernacle, and the material for the high priest and the priests was stipulated in order that the system of worship can be inaugurated. And we have the story of the Colgate story. You know, we all use the toothpaste Colgate. The man William was 16 years old when he left home to seek his fortune. All his possessions tied in a bundle he carried in his hand. He met an old cattle boat captain. William told him that his father was too poor to keep him, and the only trade he knew was soap and candle making. The old man then kneeled and prayed earnestly for the boy and advised, "Someone will soon be the leading soap maker in New York. It will be you as well as someone else. Be a good man. Give your heart to Christ. Pay the Lord all that belongs to him. Make an honest soap. Give a full pound. And I'm certain you will be a prosperous and rich man." Into the city, he remembered the captain's words. And though poor and lonesome, he united with the church. The first dollar earned, he gave 1/10 to God. 10 cents of every dollar was sacred to the Lord. Having regular employment, He soon became a partner and later sole owner of the business. He made an honest soap. And our Lord Jesus says that you want to give somebody something, you press it down, turn it over, make sure that, you know, it's worth its weight. Right? They have the bushel to measure. The Lord says, you want to give somebody something, make sure that you give it its full weight. Right? Make sure that it's full weight. If it's not, push it down. Then add some more. And if you do a business and you would do such a thing, would your business thrive? Your business would be thriving, isn't it? The trouble is that many would think that it would be smarter to cut corners. Then we won't prosper for it. And so, having regular employment, he soon became a partner and the sole owner of the business. He made an honest soul and gave a full pound and instructed his bookkeeper to give an account with the Lord, 10% of all income. The business grew. He gave 2/10, 3/10, 4/10, 5/10, and finally he gave all his income. This is the story of William. And we have many other stories. The story of Colgate, the story of Quaker Oats is another one. Henry P. Crowell, affectionately called the aristocrat of the breakfast table, he contracted tuberculosis when as a boy and he couldn't go to school. After hearing a sermon by Dwight L. Moody, young Crowell prayed, "I can't be a preacher, but I can be a good businessman. God, if you will let me make money, I use it in your service." Under the doctor's advice, Crowell worked outdoors for 7 years and regained his health. He then bought a little rundown Quaker mill at Ravana, Ohio. Within 10 years, Quaker Oats was a household word to millions. Crowell also operated the huge Perfection Stove Company. For over 40 years, Henry P. Crowell faithfully gave 60 to 70% of his income to God's causes, having advanced from an initial 10%. This was the story that God gave, that Moses commanded the children of Israel to offer, verse 4 to 20. That's the first thought. And secondly, consecrated to offer. Consecrated to offer, verse 21 to 29. And they came, and everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit made willing, they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation, and for all his service, and for the holy garment. And they came, both men and women, as many as were willing hearted, brought bracelets and earrings and rings and tablets and all jewels of gold, and every man that offered an offering of gold unto the Lord. You notice how the Lord stirred the heart of the givers, giving them a willing heart. And it is interesting to observe that every man that offered an offering of gold unto the Lord, gold is a precious metal, and they received it from the Egyptians. You see, it was God who gave them. Do we realize it? A pertinent thought. There was not a mindset to hoard what they have, but a mindset to give what God had bestowed upon them. They were stewards rather than owners. That is the difference. They understood this truth. May the people of God understand this truth. And every man with whom, verse 23, found blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen, everyone did offer an offering of silver and brass, brought the Lord's offering, and every man with whom was found shittim wood for any work of the service brought it. And all the women that were wise-hearted did spin with their hands And all the women whose hearts stirred them up in wisdom spun goat's hair. And the rulers brought onyx stones to be set for the ephod and for the breastplate. The children of Israel brought, verse 29, a willing offering unto the Lord, every man and woman whose heart made them willing to bring all manner of work which the Lord had commanded to be made by the hand of Moses. The precious materials needed were also given to them when Israel left Egypt. So you see how God prepared it? All that they needed, every piece of precious stone God had to give them, then they are able to give, isn't it? So can we see that we are simply a vessel in which God's glory will flow through us? And how much of it will flow depends on how consecrated we are toward God, isn't it? If we would do our part, the women were endowed with skill to spin with their hands, the cloth, to make the covering of the tabernacle, and God provided the wisdom to the women folk so that they were able to contribute toward the house of worship in the wilderness. It was a massive project, a work that required the cooperation and consecration of all the Israelites. They could see progress being made as they brought the offerings and work on preparing materials needed for the construction. It is the same for the Church of Jesus Christ. Faith in action. Thank God for this blessed witness given to us from our text, for our learning that the Church of Jesus Christ in this day and age would grow from strength to strength, that the gospel work will prevail, grow, move from strength to strength, because the people of God knew, understood their stewardship. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for thy word. Strengthen thy people and help us, Lord, to do thy bidding, to give our lives as a living sacrifice, holy for thy use. O Lord, strengthen thy people and send us forth to do thy good will. This I pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we shall sing the closing hymn. It is 110. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. 110. 110. Please arise for this closing hymn. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Jesus, The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Congregation, please be seated. The Lord bless you and keep you. Service is now over. The Sunday school classes will begin shortly after this. For the adults here at the sanctuary, for the youth and the children will be at the upper room.